Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessing of this new day. We especially thank you today that you became one of us, that you came into this world to save us from ourselves, so that we might be like you. We ask, O Lord, that as we encounter your word this morning, that you would take away any barriers, any obstacles that would keep us from receiving all that you've set apart for us today. Help us to hear it, O Lord, and take it to heart. In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Many moons ago, when I graduated from college, I was a teacher. I taught junior high for 5 years in a couple of Lutheran schools out here in the Northwest. And at the end of my second year, on the last day of school, one of my students brought me a gift. This. Some of you might recognize the Precious Moments figure that's here. And it's a picture of a little boy, it looks like to me, holding a report card with a tear running down his face. And it says across the top, "God understands." Now, the student who gave this to me wasn't a particularly bad student, average student, but this is a significant message for us today. Because today is the convergence of lots of holidays, if you will, or special days. Besides it being the Super Bowl and Groundhog's Day, it's also a feast day in the church. It's a day that's set apart to remember when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for the rite of purification and dedication. And that dedication piece takes us back to Exodus. You might remember in the story of the Exodus, the great Passover, where the 10th plague is, God sends the angel of death to Egypt. And his people are to take a lamb and kill the lamb and roast the lamb and take the blood from the lamb and paint it on the doorposts of their house so that the angel of death will pass over the house. Because the plague was that all the firstborn of Egypt would die. How many of you are firstborn? I'm a firstborn too. And it's particularly poignant to me that God set out to specifically save the firstborn of his people. And so what God did as a part of the law then to help these people remember this important event is he said that when a child is born, a son is born, a firstborn son is born into the family, the parents are to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice to redeem that firstborn, because God claimed the firstborn belonged to me because I saved them, and you need to redeem them back. And so it's on that day that Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to offer the sacrifice for the redemption, to fulfill the law. That's a pretty important piece for us. Because when we remember this day of the purification of Jesus, the presentation of Jesus in the temple, we remember how Jesus became one of us. This whole picture of how God understands is really significant. I've taken a lot of comfort over the years in knowing that when I'm going through a particularly tough time, or I have something difficult that I need to do, and I'm not sure I want to do it, that God understands. Jesus became one of us so that we might be strengthened, so that we might be blessed. You take a look in your bulletin. The lesson that's chosen for this presentation from the letter to the Hebrews reads like this. Since therefore the children, that's you and me, share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. He knows. He understands. He knows what it's like to be you. He knows the challenges that you face. And there is great, great comfort in that, so that he can help us, strengthen us. But you know, there's another side to that, too, that may be a little bit more challenging for us. Because he knows. Yeah, he knows even that about you. He knows those things that you would rather not have people know. He knows those things about you that you'd rather keep secret, keep hidden. But it's a blessing to us today to recognize and be embraced by the fact that he knows. Let me take you to another scene. It would be about some 30, 35 years after this day when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple. And it's at night. It's a Thursday night, as a matter of fact. Jesus has been arrested. He's taken to the high priest's house in Jerusalem for trial. Just a few minutes, hours before, he's told his disciples, you know, when that time comes, you're all going to run away. You're going to leave me. And Peter said, not me, Lord, not me. If everybody else runs away, I'm going to be there. You can count on me. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, I'm telling you, by the time the rooster crows twice tonight, you're going to have to deny me three times. Well, we all know what happened. About this time a year ago, Cindy and I got to take a trip to Israel for the first time. And there's a place in Jerusalem that some people think it's Caiaphas' house. If it wasn't the exact house, it's very similar to it. And we're standing outside of this house, and there's a stone pavement. It's not any bigger than this room. And you can see this story unfold. And what Luke tells us in his gospel is that when that rooster crowed the second time, that Jesus made eye contact with Peter across that courtyard. And he looked at him. What do you think that look was like? Peter probably felt like it. He knows. He knows. He knows what I've done. He knows who I am. But that look that Jesus gave to Peter was not a look of condemnation. It was a look of understanding. Because he himself took on flesh and blood and has been tempted the way that we are. He knows what it's like to be us. He knows what it's like to live with the burdens that we have, to face that temptation, yet Jesus did it without sin. And that look that Jesus gives Peter across that courtyard was one of confrontation. I know. I love you. You belong to me. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I'm doing this, is because of you. That's the look that we need to see today, on this day. It's not healthy for us to pretend we're something that we're not. It's not healthy for us to see ourselves as, quote, church people and not recognize that we bear the mark and the burden and the brokenness that goes along with sin in our lives. We got to face it. Because God knows. And maybe the question that we ask when we're confronted with that reality is, why did he do this? The reading that you heard from 1 Corinthians today really points to that really clearly. We consider it foolishness to extend yourself for people who don't seem to care, to give yourself for people who don't have nothing to offer you. Why? Why? And the simple answer is because he loves us. Paul writes in Romans that Jesus didn't come for us when we were at our best, when we were doing the things that we should do, when we're really trying hard and all those things, when we're praying, when we're worshiping. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. While you were at your worst, Christ died for your sin. When he looked across the courtyard of your life and caught you in the act, he came to suffer. Huge message for us today. It's a life-changing message because it doesn't demand anything. It doesn't have any conditions to it. It doesn't say, I'll be your Savior if you accept me, if you choose me, if you do the right things. There's no conditions because Jesus comes when we're broken. And that's when he lifts us up and heals us. 4.5 years ago, when I started my work in the district office, I wanted to pick a Bible passage for my signature line on emails. You know, if you got an email, you put a signature line on the bottom, tells people who you are. But I put a Bible passage there, and it's also from the letter to the Hebrews, from Hebrews chapter 12. And it reads like this: Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you might not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know what that joy was that faced Jesus that day? Who for the joy set before him. You are that joy. Jesus saw you across the courtyard of your life. Jesus saw you not when you deserved it, not when you were at your best, but when you were at your worst. He came to give himself in the flesh for you. Really doesn't matter who wins the game today, does it? We probably won't remember. Well, we might remember this one. But what matters, what endures, what lasts for eternity is knowing that you bear the sign of the cross upon your life, that Jesus' heart is inclined toward you, that you are his joy. Jesus, thank you for the way that you love us. Thank you for the way that you meet us, not when we are worthy, but precisely at that point where we need you the most. Lord, give to us hearts to see the people around us the way that you do, that we might reflect your deep love to them, that they might experience what we do, the blessing of being loved and accepted. Not because of who we are, but often in spite of it. Lord, you came to be like us so that we could be like you. Help us to follow you in that way. In your precious name.